get set up here real quick. Evening, everyone. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. The courage of faith, or faith versus anxiety. And that's going to be the words that we're going to unpack, that I'm going to try to unpack a little bit. And hopefully, you'll walk out of here with some tools to deal with anxiety if you ever find yourself having to. The courage of faith. Faith versus anxiety. And what does the Lord say? A Christian is not common or normal or natural in the sense of the self and the mind. A true Christian is different. A different kind of person. Radical. Opposite the world. So let's increase the resolution concerning that thought. We believe this to be true. Titus 2:14 says, Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A Christian is transforming the self into a being not common, not natural, not normal, which means our work is against the fleshly nature, the natural inclination of the mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Paul tells us in Romans 12, 2, Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The peculiarity in us is the operation of God's will. It is a deliberate cooperative work on our part, a deliberate action of the mind, total self-commitment in accepting his will. And that's what we are about. Self-transformation into what he intends, a spiritual being in his image. We are actively participating in this, or at least we should be mindfully doing so. And that's the point. That's the point. Transformation demands belief, faith, trust, and confidence. Anxiety is of the flesh. Belief, faith, trust, confidence. These words we use, it's our fundamental, essential, primary, critical, necessary, principle, axiomatic for transformation. Okay, so we believe faith, trust, and confidence are critical ideas, words, concepts that we exercise. So confidence in what? Confidence in the tools given us. 2 Peter 2, chapter 1, verse 3 says, Accordingly, as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. The knowledge, which comes through instruction, commands, and examples that we have. We must have the confidence. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Confidence, faith, trust, belief. Based on learning, having the knowledge of evidence, aligned with the heart, the seat of emotions. The emotional component of faith, as we experience it, is a sense of stability, strength, peace, and calm, and that is based on the Lord's demonstration of himself that he is to be trusted, that he is trustworthy. Proverbs 3:5, as many of here has quoted in the past and often, trust in the Lord with thine own heart and lean not to your own understanding. Romans 15, verses 4 and 5 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. 1 John 5, 4 says that for whatsoever is born of God, that unique and peculiar people, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So let's take a breath and turn to the problem of anxiety for a moment. Doctors today, research today says, and I quote, persons with anxiety disorders lack control over their own psyches. They're not controlling themselves. They're not doing as they should. Okay? Something's not learned. Okay? Biological explanation of generalized disorder, anxiety disorder, this is where it was taken from, effects on belief about prognosis and responsibility. Matthew S. Leibowitz, M.S., M. Phil, John P. Pyeong, B.S., and Wu Kyung, Ph.D. This is what science says. Lack of control. Lack of self-control is the problem of those who suffer from anxiety, separate and apart from a real medical condition. And those with real medical conditions have a much more difficult time handling anxiety. They get worse when it's a real medical, biological condition. The rest need to understand. Okay, just so happens that the scriptures teach the very same thing. Fear and anxiety come from a lack of self-development and control, a lack of faith. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So, a fundamental fact of faith is that it is a protection, a defense against anxiety and fear. So, let's look at anxiety for a moment, and its root, doubt. Anxiety in the mind, doubt, and that, and the what if question, that is, what if A happens, the fearful reasoning begins, where anxiety seeds begin to grow, and the emotional indicator of belief of being vulnerable, anxiety breeds the idea of being vulnerable, when the order of our mind has been compromised, anxiety grows. Anxiety has all sorts of destructive effects on the mind and body, and it cannot be tolerated for long periods. It produces neurosis, deterioration of the mental process, delusional thinking, stresses, hypertension, weakens the immune system, among other things. And anxiety alone has the ability to cause death. Anxiety, experienced as an ambivalent emotion, is the obstacle to the goal, order of the mind being compromised. It is preceded by thoughts of doubt. In an unsettled circumstance, lack of trust, lack of knowledge, lack of self-control, all kinds of lack, breeds the chaos and generates this anxiety that people are so disposed to, as opposed to order. Understand this, life is structured to maximize order and predictability, because we're made to need that predictability. When things are not predictable, anger, frustration, anxiety builds within the self. Here's a good rule. Structure your life, have a routine for each day to minimize the chance of anxiety. Create order in your personal life. Understanding. Anxiety is a result of thought plus time. Anxiety is built on time and thoughts of doubt. Thoughts take time, and anxiety is built by thoughts of doubt when we have no solution or resolution to problems. As our thought is processed in time, disorder is experienced, and threat, great or small, is focused on. It doesn't have to be a big thing for us to be anxious about. Many people are anxious about the tiniest thing. And so there's an opportunity to exercise faith. You don't want to exercise faith when facing something big. You want to deal with that exercise of developing that muscle of faith, facing anxiety when you're getting these little triggers. So what does the Lord say about the disorder of anxiety and fear? Well, Revelations 21:8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which is burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is, he's talking about those who are fearful. Just fearful. We'll separate the other ones, but they're all interconnected. They're linked as one river flowing into the abyss, okay? Being fearful and anxious is of the flesh. All of these sins are linked. Due to lack of faith, unbelief, no confidence of the evidence that God has provided for himself in the scriptures. For Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Dealing with anxiety, our minds, in reasoning, focuses on consequences. No solution, no control, no order, uncharted territory, chaos. The auto-response system of our bodies kick in. Through thought, thought plus time. The opportunity for thought to build greater instability as we dwell on those things that we cannot handle. And people often do this for no reason and as a habit. And anxiety at its extreme is panic, causing wild irritation and irrational behavior. Christian people do not do this. Faith exercise comes in two forms. We believe in something, we have faith in something, we have confidence in something, and in our God himself, the Lord. We believe that something is, or that something is not the case, based on judgment and discerning and reasoning and coming to the conclusion. Now, for the Christian, the process of faith includes prayer. As we are told and learn in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray, praying in faith, nothing wavering, nothing doubting. James 1:6, but let him that ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he can receive anything from the Lord. If wavering faith, then no answer from the Lord. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, making requests to God is necessary. Supplication is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly and or humbly. Okay, so we must pray. Doubt and anxiety should be a signal to prayer. Pray in faith. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Is it not the Lord's will that we be free from anxiety and doubt? Of course. Jesus said of himself and of his works, it is a demonstration as proof for our confidence. John chapter 10, verse 38 says, "But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that you may believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." believe that he tells us the truth. He helps us because of the authority based on the demonstration of his power, of his confidence, of his awareness in his communication. That is where our confidence lies. And when we follow, we understand his promise of outcome is true. And he is the Logos, and he is the Word, and this produces hope. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, meaning we hear, we understand, we believe, we confess, we receive, we perform, we have confidence, we trust the word of God, and can boldly expect his promises to be fulfilled, and are fulfilled. Okay, for our success, the Lord himself prayed for us, even according to the humility that he himself expects of us. John 17:19 says, and for their sakes, the apostles, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. And John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, and that's you and me. That word, the truth, teaches us, instructs us, disciplines us, informs us, commands us, comforts us, protects us, helps us. And we learn, Matthew 28:20, to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Is there any doubt about that? Okay, now let's look at fear and anxiety in action. And here's an example to consider, Matthew 14. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And that was a command. Now the scene was the apostles in the boat on the sea. And Peter answered him when he saw the Lord in the water on the sea and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water to go to Jesus. And he said, come. Peter wanted to go. The Lord says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the boisterous wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? He pointed it out right to the face. Doubt is the problem. Wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now who knows how far Peter was out in the water? Maybe halfway, maybe a quarter of the way. Peter's obstruction was of faith, called doubt, produced fear and anxiety and worry. And the Lord pointed it out. Now the mechanics of the problem, if you want to map it out, was that beginning in point of A, where they were in the boat, Peter called to the Lord to go out towards him. So there was a choice of behavior that Peter participated in as he moved from the boat. And the object of that power was his faith. And it was a positive tool as he stepped out of the boat to walk to the Lord. That was his tool, the tool of faith. But as he changed his focus and walked on the sea, a negative obstacle took place in his mind. I can't do this. I'm in the middle of the sea. Who knows what he was thinking? But the point was, what wasn't relevant at the beginning, what wasn't relevant at the beginning, became relevant because he took his focus off of Christ and doubted. Okay, so it was a choice of thought. Choice of thought caused the behavioral change from faith to doubt. Peter changed his focus of thought, and made relevant what was not relevant at the beginning, the sea and the wind. That changed his thought, causing anxiety and fear. So we set goals by thought. Emotions inform us of our progress to the goal. Positive continued behavior. Positive emotion is continue the behavior. Negative emotion tells us to withdraw. And anxiety is undetermined. We don't know what to do. And it's at this point, when we're challenged, not knowing what to do, it's where our faith is particularly the point of focus for the spiritual person, for those who are Christians. That is where faith is challenged. It has its challenge. And the seed of doubt in regard to faith is a seed of Satan in the mind. Now, calling on God then and doubting him doesn't sound to be so good an idea. It can't be. It cannot take place because that is contradicting God's will. So the situation of Peter, it was a joint effort on Peter's part, if you take note. Peter's request in faith to be with Jesus and Jesus' agreement to have him on the water. And we don't know how far he went into the water. There was no object between him and Jesus. And when he asked to walk, and Jesus asked him to come on over, and Jesus allowed it, and certainly Peter could be with him because after all, he's been with him all these weeks and months and perhaps years. Peter had a responsibility, though, when he stepped out of that boat. It wasn't all Jesus who was doing the work. Peter had been on the sea many times, so he knew the sea. He knew what he was doing when he stepped out on the water. He knew who Christ was. Jesus waited, but Peter had to act. And when he began to sink, well, responsibility. There was responsibility on Peter's part. And we are warned, don't start what you can't finish. Remember, we are warned, count the cost. Don't begin to build unless you have faith to finish. Luke 28:14-30. Unless you like to be labeled a fool. Jesus pointed out that Peter doubted in this unique situation, and we can see that it was because of lack of control in Peter's part. Now, concerning self-control and responsibility, Paul says in Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Yes, hunger and need are grounds for thoughts of self-doubt and anxiety to take root. Paul moved through it by faith, by hope, by self-discipline, by obedience. Paul suffered many instances of trials and tribulations and was instructed to handle it not in fear, but in faith. And after all the experiences that he had, or many of the experiences that he had, Paul said this in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Paul made that statement after he had many trials and experiences, many things that we'll never see. But he made that statement, and he had confidence in it. Doubting the Lord breeds anxiety, which in effect is the obstacle between the self and the goal, where Peter was and where he wanted to be. Doubt was the obstacle in his mind and on the sea. The obstacle called doubt caused the disorder and chaos, question and fear, and ultimately the emotion of anxiety and worry. The Bible says in effect that anxiety and fear are torment. Fear hath torment. 1 John 4:18. And we don't want torment. We want faith. Faith breeds optimism. Peter was optimistic at the beginning, but about being with Jesus on the sea, we want faith. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. But Jesus immediately said, take courage when they were on the sea. It is I. Don't be afraid. That was a command. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Faith is applied in the face of doubt and anxiety, serious faith. For a serious relationship with God demands serious faith. Is there any other kind of faith? Is your faith in question? Does it falter? A spirit of faith. Matthew 21:21, where Jesus replied, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, as he cursed it, but also you can say to the mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Scales of problems and kinds of problems can be overcome by faith. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So, are you fed up with doubt? Have you had enough of anxiety? Jesus, the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled in John 14:1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Okay, the problem, a troubled heart, doubt, anxiety. The solution. Here's the solution. One, pray. Remove all thoughts of doubt. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not let doubtful thoughts exist, removing the grounds for anxiety to take root. One way of doing this is to use what God has given you in other forms of emotion or heart and despise the sensation of anxiety. Have righteous indignation towards it. Do not tolerate it. Become angry at that anxiety that is encroaching or approaching your being. Anxiety is an emotional component of doubt based on reason. Jesus is saying, do you doubt me? Do not doubt me. And that's a command. Denying doubt removes anxiety. Revelations 2:10 says, fear none of those things which ye suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall receive tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Have you ever been fed up emotionally with something, and then after wavering or being unstable in judgment, you finally say, oh, well, that's enough. I've had it. And all that fear, all that anxiety goes away, and you begin to deal with the problem. And that's really what he's pointing at. It's a matter of choice. It's no mystery. It's truly a matter of an ability, a God-given response ability. We have the ability to respond and extinguish fear and anxiety. And we also have the responsibility to do that. We are held accountable for that. We're not to do that to ourselves. Jesus is saying, don't do that to yourself. Don't allow it to be. Okay, that's the point here. So rational, emotional determination and practice always to exercise the other source resources that you have in heart and emotion against this sensation and this of anxiety, and when you free yourself from the anxiety, it frees your mind to think clearly. You're not wasting energy on things you can do nothing about, but now you have the freedom to really think and face the problem in faith. Of all things, everyone's going to die. So many doctors say, I don't understand why people aren't walking in anxiety every moment of the day, because everyone is going to die, and we all have to face that. In the back of the mind, it's there. But it's denied. Doubt breeds anxiety. So don't let it. The Lord commands us. Anxiety is because we allow it. That's dead faith. Serious faith is the only kind of faith that will extinguish it. For a serious relationship with the Lord, you need serious faith. And anxiety has no place. John 14:9 says, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How saith me, showeth the Father. So, who is Jesus? Does one yet not know? You might question, because sound, serious faith has no place for anxiety. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's intelligent, rational, clear thinking, calm, awake, confident, stable, sober, rationally and emotionally under control in the Lord. Yes, a Christian is a peculiar kind of person. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:27 says, peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a command. It is a response ability we have. And we have the ability to respond. To say, no doubt, no fear, no anxiety with faith. Is a Christian who suffers anxiety saved? Well, you have to show me where that is in the Bible. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Worldly people fear, worldly people worry, worldly people are anxious. We are told and commanded to cast out fear, to be complete. It's not a suggestion. Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's a command. So, perfect love casts out fear. Anxiety has torment. We're told to be perfect. That means perfect faith casts out fear. Perfect faith is complete love. Serious faith is truly love for God. So Matthew 6:25-31, Jesus says, do not worry, do not be anxious. Therefore I say to you, take no thought, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or for your body, what ye shall put on. Now, is life not more than meat, and body more than raiment? Or in our case of late, you know, the worry for tissue. People go to extremes worrying about things. So we are to be a peculiar people, Titus 2:14. The Holy Spirit says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is our faith. He is our confidence. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's a matter of choice. Jesus said, peace I live with you, my peace I give you, not as the world give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it not either be afraid. So, the conclusion. Anxiety has no place in a serious relationship with the Lord. Anxiety, worry, fear grows from thoughts of doubt. And this is evil and this is destructive. Prayer in serious faith is something that we choose to allow the Lord to assist us. Yes, we participate in this. And this is necessary for the elimination of doubt and anxiety, which frees the mind to function effectively in the midst of problems. All that God tells us to do are for our benefit, and it is good that the effects that we have when we follow His will make life easier. So it frees the mind to effectively think. Elimination of anxiety and fear is needed for health. Elimination of it is needed to demonstrate our love of God. Elimination of it is necessary to get to heaven, our goal. So the Lord says, stop it. Stop doubting. Cease from fear. Cease from worry. Jesus commanded, do not let yourself be afraid, John 14:27. So we decide not to let our heart be afraid. Wow, that was a discovery for me, because I spent a lot of my life thinking how to work with that faith and fear. And it's a simple matter of deciding. I'm no longer going to put up with fear. And you make the choice not to, and then you don't. Just like an annoying itch, or an annoying child, or an annoying customer, or an annoying anything. You decide to no longer tolerate it and put it away. And that's a strength of control of self over emotion. But until you come to the point that, oh, I can do that and then do it, nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to finally get fed up with it and decide, I'm not going to put up with this sensation anymore, and never let it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care or anxiety upon Him, the Lord. For He is very concerned about us, for He cares for us. So that's a new kind of strength perhaps you thought you didn't have. that direct ability to put some negative or vexing emotion and thought away. It takes a form of mental muscle to do so, but once you develop it, it's there. So we have the ability to respond to doubt and anxiety, and the responsibility to do so. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Holy Spirit says in Philippians 4:6, be careful or anxious for nothing. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love, a complete faith, casts out fear. So faith says to be optimistic. Be optimistic. Our optimism goes beyond this world, this life, and it's like Jesus. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if you haven't challenged doubt and anxiety in your life, or if you know someone, do so. Challenge it. Remove doubt and remove anxiety, and it is by faith, by confidence in God Himself. And a serious choice for a serious relationship with God is to be able to remove that doubt and that anxiety. Psalm 16:8 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And that's the lesson. So the invitation is extended. The door is open for anyone who wishes to obey the gospel. If you hear Romans 10:17, believe John 1:12, repent, Acts 2:38, confess Romans 10:9, and be baptized. And Acts 2:38, and begin to walk in newness of life. Or if you have any other reason why you want to answer the invitation, the invitation is extended forward while we stand and sing.